Welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. We are talking policy today, wildlife policy, environmental policy. A lot of our natural resources are protected through years and years, decades, centuries now of environmental policy. So we wanted to pay some tribute to those that first got us started.
Bully.
My shout out to old Teddy Roosevelt there. Former president of the United States.
See, I would have said, thanks, Ted.
Yeah.
Thanks, my good friend, Teddy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Teddy Roosevelt did start the national park system, starting with Yellowstone National Park. So that's pretty cool. We are in the 100th year of national parks.
Absolutely.
So that's a big deal.
How many have you visited?
Two. I have been to Sumter National Park here in South Carolina. Sumter National Park? No.
Nope.
Congaree National Park.
There you go.
Sumter's the forest.
That's right.
Congaree National Park. And I went to the Lassen Volcanic National Park in Northern California.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes.
Wonderful.
They have all types of volcanoes. There's like five different kinds of volcanoes there.
Now, I've been to the Grand Canyon National Park, and I've also been to Congaree, which is, of course, South Carolina's national park. We're really proud of that.
Mm-hmm. And let's put in a word. If people listening here have not been down to Congaree, go. It's especially the time of year now. It's cool. It's nice. Go see it. They have some incredible trees down there.
It is the largest remaining tract of bottomland hardwood forest left in the world.
They have owls too. You can go on an owl prowl.
That's
and you
right.
can hear the owls. They do this laugh, the laugh of the barred owl. And we went on this owl prowl, and the park guide had never heard the owls laugh, but we got to hear the owls laugh.
And what was the joke that you told that got them laughing?
Go ahead. I thought it was you, Patricia. What joke did you tell?
Well, you know,
they had chemistry, right?
I had a joke about sodium, but nah.
Get it. Sodium, Na. Okay.
But I digress. But speaking of birds, one of the things that I always really enjoy telling my students that I get to work with is we have so many beautiful lakes and rivers in our immediate area here in the upstate of South Carolina. And one of the birds that you are almost guaranteed to see when you go out is the blue heron.
I saw one yesterday.
It's a large wading bird. You can see them flying a good bit. They'll even be at retention stormwater ponds. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are very mm-hmm. prevalent. And we have a really great resident population. They're very strong breeding numbers. But that bird almost went extinct.
Do tell.
Indeed.
No.
So the breeding plumage of the blue heron apparently is quite lovely. And at the turn of the century, it was very popular in ladies' hats. So that particular feather during breeding time, which you can imagine is a really bad time to be impacting a population.
Not have plumage.
Right. So they were using those in the ladies' hat trade and they were shipping them all over the world, to the fact that they were really on the borderline of extinction.
Wow.
And our friend, President Roosevelt, stepped in and set aside the first protected wildlife area in the country to preserve that bird. And now it is one of the most beautiful and common sights you can see.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, TR.
And you think about how many different animals used to be very popular and now not so much. I mean, heron feathers, no.
Right. Yeah, there's not a big fashion industry for heron feathers.
No. At one point, there was a big industry for the passenger pigeon.
Ah, yes.
Rest in peace. These passenger pigeons, pre-1900, their flocks were just so huge, they would block out the sun, and they just look like these massive dark clouds. And you thought, oh, is that a cloud? Nope. It's a giant swarm of passenger pigeons. They were hunted by the North Americans. They were a cheap and easy food source. And then the Europeans came over around the 19th century. And pigeon meat got commercialized, which resulted in this huge mass scale of hunting for decades. They just hunted pigeons to the point where they actually ended up going extinct. They think the last bird was shot in the wild in 1900. And Martha was the last captive bird, which died in 1914 in the Cincinnati Zoo. So
poor Martha.
I know.
Well, and then again, these are the kinds of things that happen. And looking back in hindsight, we have people like Audubon who will then take on these causes to champion to say, okay, you know, some of our habits are not so sustainable. We need to maybe look at this, maybe need to do some science, some research, and figure out how we can manage these things better. And Gifford Pinchot, the Cradle of Forestry, is right next door in North Carolina. And that was another administration, the Forestry Commission, that was formed in order to help us make more sustainable decisions on how to utilize our timber.
Yeah, yeah. And really, this whole big environmental movement, I would say, started back around the turn of the century, about 1900, as a result of both the passenger pigeon and large animals like the heron, you know, just animals in general becoming at risk for extinction. Congress started to pay attention, and John F. Lacey from Iowa proposed a bill to William McKinley in 1990, and it was the Lacey Act. And I love the Lacey Act.
The 1900s, right?
Yes, the 1900 Lacey Act. And under the Lacey Act, it is unlawful to import, export, sell, acquire, or purchase fish, wildlife, or plants that are taken, possessed, transported, or sold in violation of U.S. or Indian law. And in interstate or foreign commerce, including fish, wildlife, or plants taken, possessed, or sold in violation of state law. That's a lot of words to say that you can't just take animals. At this time, you couldn't even take them across borders in the U.S., so you couldn't take them from state to state.
Right.
And especially on a bigger picture, you couldn't take them from country to country, because then we would get things like parrots that are just being snatched from their homes and taken all over the world as beautiful decorative birds.
So this is really the precursor to our hunting laws and having to go out and buy hunting permits for certain animals.
Right, absolutely right. So we have policymakers that hopefully will listen to the biologists and the scientists and the experts that are looking at these populations and managing them so that we can enjoy the recreational services that they provide, hunting and fishing and just hiking out in the day, you know, at the state park or in the national forest with your family, and seeing some native species of incredible fauna and flora, especially some of our plants that we are allowed to protect now. And by doing this, by having this foresight to say, this is the acceptable population numbers that we can harvest and still maintain healthy populations, then we have regulations that don't go overboard, but that still serve the purpose of protecting the plant and animal wildlife so that future generations can enjoy them.
Well, that's really what conservation is all about. You know, there's a few different schools of thought. You have your preservationists, which is essentially a hands-off approach. So set aside a piece of land, you know, humans don't go there, don't touch it, just let it be for the wildlife. But I find myself more in the camp of conservationists, where we have these resources and we should be using them. All animals need to use resources, but, you know, we need to be using them responsibly and sustainably. So the issue so much is not using the resources themselves, but just taking good care of them.
It's responsible use. I mean, you look at it and you know, another big animal that had a lot of trouble that almost went extinct was the buffalo or the bison, on the plains. And, you know, that was the Native Americans, but it was also all the people when we had the Western migration, everyone was all about eating the bison. And you see, I saw recently some historical pictures, and one of them was a literal mountain, like 20, 30 feet high, of nothing but bones. And, you know, the bison were what was, you know, acting in a herd mentality across the land and taking care of our soil and making sure that the soil got tilled really kind of in a natural way. So there are a lot of unforeseen consequences too.
Right. Whenever we take out a population of that size with that kind of impact in the ecosystem, then of course it's going to have unforeseen impacts. It's going to have a ripple effect through the ecosystem, some of which we can't possibly foresee. So again, that responsible management of the resources that we have, that we've been so blessed with in this country, is of vital importance, not only to us today, but also for future generations.
It is. And we mentioned this in the last segment, but these policies are constantly being updated. Even the Lacey Act from 1900, the last amendment, as far as I can tell, was 2012. So we're still sticking to it.
And there's so many evidence of success stories. There's so many opportunities. Uh-huh. I mean, the bald eagle, you know, our great symbol of freedom in this country, on the verge of extinction at one point, with all the PCBs in the environment that weakened the shells, so that they were not able to reproduce effectively, really put those populations on the brink. And here we are now with I've seen them on the Saluda River. I've seen them on Lake Jocassee. They're actually quite prevalent now.
Yeah. Oh, they're everywhere. It's great.
Yep.
It's great.
So we have a lot of success stories.
Yeah. Fun fact, whenever you hear an eagle screech in a movie, it's not actually an eagle, it's but a red-tailed hawk.
Yeah.
Because the eagle, bald eagles, you guys are great. Your screeches are not intimidating.
No, they're pretty wimpy.
Yeah. So anytime you hear an eagle in a movie now, no, it's not an eagle.
Oh, and you have like totally messed up my world now, my movie watching world.
We have lots of red-tailed hawks around here as well, though.
Yeah.
Another great success story. Back in the day, the farmers used to put a lot of pressure on those populations because they considered them chicken hawks. They would come around and they were actually considered a nuisance bird. And again, because of the Migratory Bird Act, those animals are now protected.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Environmental protection there. Yeah. It's hard to find sometimes the balance between, well, what is a nuisance? Because really to the hawk, the farmer's not a nuisance. The farmer's giving them all this food. So
yeah.
When you look at it from that perspective, I mean, the hawk was there before the farmer.
Funny hawk story. When we first moved here, we were listening to the radio and I don't remember what station it was. And a fellow called in and he wanted to find out. He said, listen, there's a hawk in my yard and it is eating all my squirrels and I don't know what to do. And they were like, well, you know, you can't kill the hawk. He's like, no, the hawk is hungry now. He ate all the squirrels. I need to get more squirrels for him.
Great.
But, you know, that's good. Guy looking out for his resident neighborhood hawk.
Sure. Hawk's got to eat, too. Better to, I guess, eat the squirrels than someone's chickens. That's their livelihood.
But that brings up a good point. So when you are a citizen and you're out there trying to figure out, you know, you may be a farmer or a homeowner and you're trying to get answers to these questions, things that you're observing that impact your daily life, who do you call?
Ghostbusters?
That's where I was heading to. You can call the Department of Natural Resources. They have folks who can help you.
Absolutely. Soil and water conservation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lots of education. Clemson Extension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of resources out there to help folks educate about some of these policies.
And there are wildlife rehab centers here in the upstate and in neighboring communities. So if you do see an injured animal or especially like a bird or a hawk, Call the rehab folks. Don't try to deal with it yourself.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.